Ben Roethlisberger joining us on his day off. Hi, Ben. Good morning.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm not bad. No Ron, so I'm lonely.
I've never in my life met somebody that has done jury duty more than Ron. He must be one heck of a juror.
You know, he thought he'd get out of it because, you know, being a journalist, being a writer.
Because of our show?
Because of your show, yeah. Yeah, he thought he could go to the judge and say, here is my excuse, but I guess
that's... Well, like Coach Tomlin says, next man up, the show must continue. Mm.
Ben, I imagine you are your own worst critic, that you are a harsh grader of your performance and yourself. But even somebody like you, looking back on that San Francisco game, did you find anything wrong with what you guys did offensively?
Yeah, you know, we had some penalties that hurt us. We had some you know, we had 2 3-and-outs that shouldn't have been 3-and-outs, and we stopped ourselves, and that's frustrating. I had a bad call in the no huddle that resulted in only a 1 yard run when it could have been more if I would have checked out of the play. But and I missed Marcus down the sideline one time. That frustrated me. But you know, over all in all, a win is a win, and we'll look at, you know, we look at the film and we dissect it. Even wins like last week that were a lot of fun, and you feel like everything just went the way you wanted it to. You have to look at everything with a critical eye because you want to strive for perfection.
Ben, the decision to go to the no huddle, it happened after the first drive. Take us through the conversation, the decision that was made collectively by the team to go no huddle.
You know, the night before the game when we have all our meetings, we usually try and decide, okay, what series do we want to go to the no huddle? And the decision was made to go to it the third series. After the first series, we came off, and Coach Haley came to me and said, hey, what do you think about going to it next time out? I said, sounds great. I'm all for it. So that was the start and end of the conversation. We said we're going to go for it, and we went to it, and we just stayed with it the rest of the game.
Was there even a conversation about, okay, let's now go back to normal tempo, or was it the old feeling, if it ain't broke, don't fix it sort of thing?
Yeah, no, it was. There was never a talk at halftime or, you know, any point. I was kind of waiting for him to say, let's kind of go back to, you know, slowing it down and using the clock and this and that. But Coach Tomlin even came to me specifically and said, Ben, I'm not changing a thing. I'm not slowing down. We're going to keep this going and just keep doing what you're doing. So there was never even, as far as I know, from me to any coach, I don't know between coach and coach, but as far as I know, there was no talk of changing anything.
Talking with Ben Roethlisberger, the number one Cochran Ben Roethlisberger show, brought to you by number one Cochran GMC of Monroeville and Robinson, Geico insurance agent Tim Hester, and Tap Brick Oven and Poorhouse. Ben, I'm curious, when you are in the no huddle and, okay, you call a play, you execute it, when are you thinking about the next play, the next play call?
Probably before the play is over, as the play is getting, as play's winding down, as the person is getting tackled, you know, then you can kind of see what the down and distance is going to be. That's about the time that I really start contemplating in my head, okay, down and distance, you know, what are they in defensively? And so it's right at the very end of the play, if not before, it's just over.
Wow. So do you feel like when you're doing that, it's the full complement of plays, right? Like even if you have a massive playbook, you still have those plays popping into your mind on the fly.
Yes, absolutely. And the philosophy that we took this week in the no huddle was, let's call a play that has multiple options and just let it go. Instead of, you know, there's multiple ways to run the no huddle. You can kind of run it where you're checking everything and trying to get your team in the very, very best play possible. So you're making dummy calls and you're trying to see what the defense is going to give you, and then you call a play that you think is going to work. The other way of doing it is what we did last week, is basically calling a play that has a couple options and you don't ever change the play. And you call the play and you live with it and you make it work. And that way it's a little bit more up-tempo, a little faster. You keep the defense on edge a little more, keeps them from blitzing, tires them out. You know, it's a lot more screens and max protecting, taking shots down the field. And that's what we did, and we were successful. We were able to stay ahead of the chain, And when we got to third down, we converted them.
And, Ben, it looked to me like spreading out a physical team in the middle, San Francisco, I think that's who they want to be. Even when you got down at the goal line, you spread things out and went empty set. Was that a big part of the strategy, like trying to find a weakness in that San Francisco defense, which might be take them to the outside?
Yeah, well, we knew that, what they did last week, if you watched them against, in our film study against Minnesota, the way that they attacked Minnesota, and we knew that they would probably sit there and say, let's try and find a way to, just play a defense and show different blitzes and be confusing. And we were like, it doesn't, let's make them adjust to us and not make us adjust to them. And, the same philosophy. I have to give Coach Haley a lot of credit. I told him this Sunday night when I got home and texted him. I said, Coach, I give you credit because, when we were driving down the field in no huddle, we got down a couple times to the 5-yard line, 10-yard line, and sometimes even closer. And typically, I would expect to hear in my head, in the speaker come through my helmet, mm-hmm. Okay, huddle up, we're bringing out the goal line package, jumbo, or him calling a play. He never once did that. And so that's to his credit that he just kind of let us keep rolling. And we were successful, so that helps. But my philosophy when we got down there was, let's just do what we do. Let's keep him spread out. If they match up on the outside, then we run the ball. If they try and stop the run, then we throw the ball.
And it looks like they've got a lot of confidence in the two-point thing, the seven-shot drill that you did all in training camp from the 2-yard line with the rule change. And you told us in camp that this was going to be something that you decided even before the game. Were you going to come out and go for two after the first touchdown? So I'm guessing there was a conversation even before the game that, yes, when we get a touchdown here, we're going to elect to go for two.
Yes, we knew first touchdown we're going for two. The discussion then comes up, on the second one, what are we going to do? But and I think the second one will determine, if we got the first one, then, we may not do the second one. If we didn't get the first one, we may do the second one. That's Coach Tomlin. But we knew going in that we were going to go for two on the first play. Our first touchdown, excuse me.
Gotcha. Ben, how about D'Angelo Williams? How do you keep him involved in the offense with Le'Veon Bell coming back?
Well, I think there's multiple things we can do without giving away too many secrets that we want to try mm-hmm. and do. I think there's times that, Le'Veon doesn't like to come out of the game. That's no secret, and that's because he's in phenomenal shape, and he's a guy that, is awesome. So we want to have him on the field. But I think it still is beneficial not just to him, to this team in the short term, but in the long term. You're talking about a long season. If every third series, every fourth series, whatever it is, let D'Angelo come in. We feel all confident in D'Angelo, and obviously he's shown and proven that he can do it. So why not let him come in for every few series and give Le'Veon a break? And like I said, the big thing is that could be good for week 14, 15, 16, whatever it is, and hopefully a playoff run. But I think the other thing we can do is we can put them both in the field at the same time. I think Le'Veon is so dangerous out of the backfield. Put them both in the field and use one as a screen, the other as a runner. I mean, who knows? I think the possibilities could be endless.
Well, it certainly looked like you had confidence in Williams, and it looked like you had confidence in Darius Heyward-Bey. You talked about that after the Bryant suspension, how you were going to really rely on him, and you thought that he could make a difference offensively. You hit him that long pass on the opening touchdown drive, and then he scores the 35-yard touchdown. It's one thing to say that you have confidence in a guy. What did Darius Heyward-Bey do? Maybe it was even last year, Ben, that made you feel like if he needed to come in and play and be used more as a wide receiver, I'm sure that he can get the job done.
I think it's his work ethic. He comes to work every day with a great attitude. And it's not just, he is a phenomenal special teams player. And it's more than that. I mean, he takes pride in special teams, takes pride in being a receiver, in blocking, in the run game. I mean, he's down blocking and he's throwing his nose in there, doing everything he can. And to me, he's a selfless player, and he's one of the guys that went down to Georgia with us this year, worked out, and you can just see the confidence continue to build. And as he learns more and more about the offense, last year he was new in it, so he was still learning it. But now I have all the confidence that he knows every play, every hand signal, every audible, every correction. And so, I don't just say things to say. When I said I had confidence in him, I meant it.
Yeah. And how about Heyward-Bey said after the game Sunday that he felt like Antonio Brown right now is the best player in the NFL. I've run out of, and I'm sure you have too, superlatives and adjectives to describe what Brown has been able to do. And I thought your comments after the game about, you know, Brown now telling him just run the route the way that it's drawn up. Tell me why you felt like that was important, Ben.
Well, I think that, you know, so many times in the past few years that we've played together, we've made plays happen. And they've been improvising this because he's one of the best in the world at doing that. And I wanted him to try really hard and focusing on, okay, making sure every single time he runs a bench route, he's at the exact same depth. Every time he runs a curl route, he's at the exact same, in the same spot, so that we can be even better because, you know, to me, he's the best in the business, and he makes me so much better. And if we can get on the same page and I trust and know where he's going to be and he knows and trusts that I'm going to throw it to where he's going to be, why can't we be even better?
Right. I'm sure you stopped a long time ago being amazed, or, you know, your jaw probably doesn't drop as low as it used to when he makes these catches, because it's almost like an old hat for him. It really is.
It is. You know, he's become the Heath Miller where our jaw drops when he drops the ball.
Yeah.
You know, instead of the other way, or when he doesn't make a play, you know, it's kind of, we always used to laugh when Heath Miller drops the ball in practice, though, you know, everyone just kind of like freezes and pauses, like, well, what just happened?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and AB has now become that same way. It's not so much when he makes a one-hander on the sideline and drags two feet in, and, you know, everyone's like, yeah, okay, another good catch by AB. It's when he tries to make the one-hander on the sideline and doesn't quite get the second foot in, that everyone's like, whoa, whoa, what just happened there?
Do you feel like he's rubbing off on others?
Yeah, I mean, he should. I mean, that's my challenge to that receiver room, to Marcus Wheaton, to Martavis Bryant, to Hebe, to the young guys, is you have the best in the world in your room. Why not try and be better than him? Why not, you know, do everything you can to be better than him because he's so good? And his work ethic rubs off on other people, and his infectious smile and personality, and he's just getting better and better every week.
Number One Cochran, Ben Roethlisberger Show is brought to you by Number One Cochran GMC of Monroeville and Robinson, Walnut Grill, A&R Solutions, and the Mutual Fund Store. Ben, when was the first time you heard the name or became aware of Aaron Donald?
Probably last year at Pitt, I think. I mean, a little bit the year before, but last year was when the name really was getting thrown around there with one of the best.
What have you seen from him in the film study you've done for the Rams on Sunday? What do you see from Donald on tape?
Well, he's a stud. you know, he's a high motor, strong, quick, fast. I mean, their front seven in St. Louis is, I mean, they're a really, really, really good group, and it's a heck of a test it's going to be for us, and not going to be easy by any stretch of the imagination. And he's just one of the guys up there that is just, you know, almost unstoppable.
Is it harder facing a pass rush from the outside or facing a rush from up the middle?
You know, that's a good question. You know, I think when people think about pass rushers, they always think about the ends, the outside linebackers, you know, going around tackles. But when you have guys like they do that force you to step up, and then you have guys up front in the middle that push the pocket, well, there's not many places for a quarterback to go. So we're going to have our hands, you know, and it's not going to be easy. I'll put it like that. It's going to be, they're a very tough defense. We got a lot of work to do, especially going there. Playing on that turf and the loud environment, it's definitely their advantage.
Do you prefer when a team just rushes the front four, which is something that I think St. Louis does because they have, you know, such belief in that front line? Would you rather face a team that rushed four and dropped seven, or do you like a team that gets more exotic in their blitz packages, Ben, because that means there might be guys running free and open downfield?
Yeah, you know, there's good and bad with both those situations. Like you say, if you rush four, you'd like to think that you guys can hold up and protect. You got five guys, and you know, you got more time to throw it. It's not as confusing. You don't have to think about who's hot and what the blitz is going to be. But that means there are more guys covering in the secondary, so there's less smaller windows, less places to throw the ball. And then, you know, when they when teams rush and show blitzes, that if you can pick it up and you can get the ball out of your hands, then there's usually more you run after catch. So it really just depends on the game situation and who we're playing against. I don't know if therefore it's so good rushing, it may not be much difference.
Ben, I know Ron always tells you to stay healthy. I almost want to say that two or three times this morning with all the quarterback injuries this weekend. Romo now out, clavicle injury. Breeze is dealing with some stuff. So I'm going to say it twice. Stay healthy, okay?
Thank you. I appreciate it. I have those boys up front keep doing what they're doing. It's easier for me to stay healthy.
And I don't have the court docket in front of me, but I think Ron will be back next Tuesday. We're going to keep our fingers crossed.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, Ben. Thanks, man.
All right, Andrew. Have a good day.
You too. Ben Roethlisberger.